Thank you, Curtis. What an appropriate song for this morning's passage. Please turn back with me to the passage that Pastor Ogden read, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. In 1519, Spanish explorer Hernando Cortes led an expedition of about 600 men from Spain to conquer southern Mexico. After he arrived, they were met with much problem and much warring. They had some victories, but many, many problems. So many problems, in fact, that the men's morale started to suffer. Their happiness and their contentment started to wane. But he wanted to demonstrate his determination to the cause of this conquest of the land. And so he did so by sinking all 12 ships that the Spaniards had sailed into Mexico on. By that action, he committed himself and his forces to succeed or to die trying. For they had nothing to return to, nothing to go back to. And for all practical purposes, 2015 is behind us, isn't it? There's nothing to return to. We can't unsay a single word that we've spoken. We can't undo a single action that we've done. But before us is a new year, a year full of hope, a year full of promise. I want to read you a poem about the new year. Life, I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you've learned about life during the past 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me, waiting for you to search it out with more determination. All of the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant. Mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but didn't dare to do, all that you hoped for but didn't will, all the faith that you claimed but didn't have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity, the new year, to renew your allegiance to him who said, "Behold, I make all things new. I am the new year." The author is anonymous. New Year's resolutions. I won't ask how many of you make them. And conversely, I won't ask how many of you break them, because we all do those, right? New Year's resolutions. We make many resolutions. I'll give you kind of a brief history of some of mine. 2010, I made a resolution that I would get my weight down to 210 pounds. See where that went, right? 2011, my resolution is that I would watch my calories until I got below 220. 2012, I will follow my new diet religiously until I get below 230. 2013, I will try to develop a realistic attitude about my weight loss. That's what it is. We need a realistic attitude. 2014, I resolved that I would work out 5 days a week, 5 days a week. 2015, I resolved that I would work out 3 days a week. So 2016, I wanted to put something in place that I could have success at, and I could build off of that success. So my resolution for 2016 is that I'm going to join a gym and drive past that gym as much as I can. And so it's nice that we have a couple of gyms locally to drive past. Every year we have resolutions, don't we? Whether they're written down or spoken, we have resolutions to do this or to do that, to stop eating so much, to exercise more, to enjoy life more. We know Pastor Monty is always looking for the new diet fad, so he doesn't make resolutions annually. He makes them almost biweekly, his resolutions to lose weight. And what's funny about the congregation's relationship with Pastor Monty is when Pastor Monty goes on a diet, don't we all know about the diet and the specifics of the diet? And we follow along, don't we? Many of us will research and follow along. And we love him about that. But what about our relationship to God. I'm sure many of us have resolutions that we make annually about those type of things. We should be thinking about some resolutions in regard to God in order for us to grow in our faith. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of Him? If not, why not? Have you made any resolutions to grow? I think we could all honestly say that growth in Christ does not come naturally. Growth in Christ doesn't spring forth from not being assertive. It doesn't spring forth from doing nothing and we just somehow grow in Christ. That's not how it works. Jonathan Edwards, the great 18th century Puritan pastor and theologian, took the charge to grow spiritually very seriously, very soberly. So soberly, in fact, that as a 20-year-old man, he composed a list of 70 resolutions that he would commit to live by for the rest of his days. He reminded of himself every week he would read these 70 resolutions. And he would measure his growth and he would measure his walk with Christ by these things. He said this, "Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat Him by His grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to His will for Christ's sake." I've written down four of these resolutions. They're really interesting. The 70 resolutions are really interesting. If you had an opportunity, I would maybe look online for Jonathan Edwards' 70 resolutions. They're challenging. They're convicting. One of his resolutions was, he said this, "Resolved, I will do whatever I can to the glory of God." Another one, "Resolved, never to do anything which I should not be afraid to do if it were my last hour of life." "Resolved, never to do anything out of revenge." "Resolved, to study the Scriptures steadily, constantly, and frequently." Some of his resolutions. If we're going to do better in any way in the new year, then we must start with it every day. Because honestly, if we think about it, January 1st was very similar to December 31st, wasn't it? December the 31st was a Thursday. January the 1st is a Friday. But it's a new day. More importantly, really, than a new year, it's a new day. It's a new day to glorify God. It's a new day to grow into Christ-likeness. We do it one day at a time, but if you don't make it a good habit one day, then that one defeated day or that one poorly executed day for the cause of Christ turns into a poorly executed week, turns into a bad month, it turns into a defeated year. So what are you doing to grow in His grace? We've not passed this way before. No one has experienced 2016. Now God knows the end from the beginning. And so we need not stumble clumsily and blindly into 2016. Because we can follow the leading and wisdom of the One who knows all things. As we look back at our passage, this passage tells of the children of Israel who were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. When it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. They were to keep their eyes on it at all times. The Ark, which represents the leading of God, led them into a land that they had never been to before. It was leading them into the Jordan River, to cross the Jordan River, into the promised land that they had never been before. It was new to them. Much like that, this year is a foreign land to us. 2016 is a foreign land to us. We have not passed this way before. We have relatively no clue as to what we will expect and encounter in 2016. Now, we can expect a few things, generally speaking. We can expect surprises, unexpected sicknesses and deaths. We can expect some giants to overcome as the children of Israel faced giants as they made their way into the new land. There are temptations and there are pet sins and there are bad habits that we all need to overcome. I'm sure that if we all stopped to look at our New Year's resolutions, they included defeating some bad habits. There are enemies to fight, persecutions, spiritual battles, I mean. I don't mean your wife or husband. We're not talking about fighting them. We can expect that there will be defeats. The children of Israel faced a defeat at the city of Ai. We can expect that there would be victories. The children of Israel had a great victory at the city of Jericho. We can expect that there will be times of blessings, that there will be new births, that there will be good health, there will be marriages. We can expect those things. But we've not been this way heretofore, but ready or not, we are here in 2016. Here we are. We're in 2016 today. So how do we turn an uncertain year into a year of victory and of accomplishment, both relationally and spiritually? Let's look this morning at the Word of God, at the example of the children of Israel, and notice some vitally important habits to ensure we are equipped to venture into this new land of 2016. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3 of the book of Joshua. And he commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levite, the priest of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." Number one, I see that we need, if we're going to be victorious in this new land that we're entering of 2016, that if we're going to be victorious, that we need to remain in God's presence. We need to remain in God's presence. To the Israelites, the ark symbolized the very presence of God. Now go back with me, and I want to explain to most of you probably already know this, but in the ark were several items. There were three items. Number one, there were the tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments had been written by the hand of God himself. That's God's word. So the Ark of the Covenant, as they follow the Ark of the Covenant, they are following symbolically and practically God's Word. The Ten Commandments testified to us our need for a Savior. The Ten Commandments are our schoolmaster. It shows that we cannot follow God's law, and it shows that we need God's grace through belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, a supernatural preserved pot of manna. There was the Ten Commandments, there was the tablets of stone, there was a pot of manna which represented God's provision. When the children of Israel saw that, when they were following the ark, they knew that there were these things inside that represented God. Now God dwelt there, but these represented God also. This reminded them that God is one who can satisfy. The Lord said later in John chapter 6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So they were following God's word. They were following God's provision. They knew that God had taken care of them in the past. And then thirdly, there was Aaron's rod, the rod that budded like a plant. And that was a miraculous showing of God's power. This would remind the people that God is a miracle-working God, that nothing is impossible with God. We need to keep our eyes on the ark. The children of Israel were told to keep their eyes upon the ark because that was the presence of God. God's word abided there. An evidence of God's miracles abided there. An evidence of God's provision resided in the ark, and they were to follow. Now, note also that there was a space. They were to follow closely upon it. There was a space between the ark and the people. So why the space? Why the space? Because God wanted the ark to be visible to everyone. Had there been no space between the ark and the people, those that followed too closely would obscure of those that were behind them to see the ark themselves. And so there was a space. Only those in the first few ranks would have been able to hold it. But because it was carried by the priest a little over a half a mile ahead of the people, the ark would be visible to the whole multitude. If the crowd followed too closely, only those in front could see it. Every Israelite would only end up following the person in front of them. And to me, that speaks of the importance of following God more than following the example of someone else. Now, we are to look at other people and we are to gain wisdom in the victories and the mistakes of other people. But if we follow too closely to others, then we have a difficult time seeing God. And that is who we are to follow. We are to follow the Lord. Too often we set up people as the idols. This church loves their pastoral staff. We talk about it as a staff so often. And Pastor Wallace will feel that as well as we have. And you guys love us and you follow us. But you follow Christ. You love us and we know this. But we know this, that you're not following us. You're following who we follow. And that's the point of this passage here. Following close. They were in God's presence. They were close to God. They remained in God's presence constantly. Constantly they were in the presence of God. Constantly in the presence of God. And that's the place to be as we head into this new year. In God's presence. Relying upon His Word. Faith in His provision. Knowing that He is a miracle-working God. We follow Christ. We follow Him. Look with me at verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Drop down to verses 15 through 17. And as they sat, and as they that bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the fleet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even of the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. Number one, I said we need to remain in God's presence. Secondly, I see here in this passage, as the children of Israel crossed into the land that was flowing with milk and honey, the land that was promised to them, as they walked through the Jordan River into that land, not only did they remain in God's presence, but they relied on God's power. They relied on God's power. Now we think, wouldn't it have been better to wait until the river had subsided and the flood season was over? They did this right in the middle of high water time. Would it not be better to wait until they might be able to wade through the river when it was low? For the Jordan River at times is very shallow. But at this time it overflew its banks. Relying on God's power. Man's inability would furnish the most suitable opportunity for God to display His power. It wouldn't have seemed miraculous if they had walked across an area that was just a little brook and they had just stepped in the mud and walked across. But God wanted to demonstrate His power. So God selected a month when conditions were such as to be the most suitable background for His glorious display of power. May we never forget the power of God. May we never forget the glory of God. May we never stop being in awe of God and His power. He didn't defer the crossing of the river into the end of the summer when it had been at its lowest, but He chose a month when it was at its broadest and deepest, that His hand of power may be more clearly seen. Let the banks of the Jordan be filled to the brim. Filled till they rushed over. It's just as easy for the omnipotent hand of God to part that as it would have been to part a brook. For God's omnipotence knows no restraint. And His power knows no end. So as the children of Israel marched into the River Jordan, into the promised land, they could rely on God's power. They had seen what God had done. As we move into 2016, we need to remain in the presence of God, because there will be times that we have come to the end of ourselves. We have to rely on God's power. Because it's when we are at the end of ourselves that we see God in all of His glory and God in all of His strength and God in all of His might, we must have this. No doubt it seemed somewhat crazy to wade into the flooded Jordan River, but it was going to be a step of faith. A step of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. As we move into 2016, we're going to have increased faith. Faith in God's power. God is able. God's power is activated by the faith of these priests. God could have divided the Jordan without the priests, but the priests could not have divided the waters without God. As the consciousness of God's presence produces a life without dread, so the comprehension of God's power produces a life without dismay. Sitting in here today are family members of loved ones that have passed away very recently. And we thank God for His presence and we thank God for His power, because there are many unknowns in the next year. And we must rely on God. We must remain in His presence. We must rely on His power. In 1939, the people of England were troubled and fearful. The Second World War was underway in Europe. Hitler had invaded Poland. It was obvious that he had other conquests in mind as well. And the people of England were deeply, deeply concerned and disturbed over what might lie ahead. On Christmas Day that year of 1939, King George addressed the nation, and at the close of his speech, he quoted the words of an obscure Canadian woman named Minnie Haskins. And this little piece she wrote, was The Gate of the New Year. Here's just a brief excerpt that King George quoted to encourage his people. He says this, and I quote, "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better to you than light and safer than a known way.'" In the presence of God, relying upon the power of God, we must recognize that God holds the future. God knows the end of 2016 from the beginning of 2016. And so we must hold His hand as He leads us into the new year. Look with me, please, at verses 6 and 7. "And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people.' And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, 'This day will I begin to magnify thee in all the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee.'" As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Just as God was with the saints of old, He is with us today. God's power and God's presence weren't reserved for past generations, and we are to go forth without God's presence. No, they are for us as well. God can still lead. God will still lead. God has saved the heart that has been so hardened, and He still is in the business of saving folks. We can rest upon God's provision. God has not grown any weaker through the years. God is the same. God does not change. The children of Israel, when they heard these words, It reassured them that the same God that Moses entreated for their release and for their leading through the wilderness was the same God that Joshua was following. It was the same God who was leading. That God hadn't changed. Too many times we think about the good old days and how God did this or God did that. We serve the same God, folks. It's the same God in 2016 who is on the throne, as was in 1916, as was in 16. God is on the throne. God has not changed. We need to learn to live on His provisions. And it's only God that knows perfectly well what we need, even before we ask. God will supply. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will sustain, Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will strengthen, Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. God will provide. We may not get everything that we want, but aren't we very fortunate that in the United States in 2015 that we get almost everything that we want, don't we? And I think that that's clouded our view of God. And we many times consider God to be our big, benevolent Santa Claus in the sky rather than providing for our needs. And our needs are ignored and our wants are highlighted. But God provides. We must recognize the presence of God and remain there. We must rely on the power of God and call upon Him. We must rest in the provisions of God. Then please read with me verse 8. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. I think it's worthy of our attention here that the people were commanded to follow the priests as far as they carried the ark, but no further. We need to respect God's precepts. Now, God's children today, just as in those times, are responsible to heed and obey. To heed and obey. And you were to follow us as the staff only as far as we're following God. It is to the God and the Word and the Word of God that we are to pledge our allegiance and loyalty to. And that speaks of not looking for loopholes either. I think we're very good as Christians of doing this. We look at the Word of God and we are constantly with a rebellious mind looking for the loopholes as to how we can get around the commands of God, the clear commands and clear teachings of God. We're looking for a way out. We're looking for a loophole. We're looking for something that God doesn't mention that we can get away with. The psalmist wrote this, Psalm 119. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all the things to be right, and I hate every false way. As the children of Israel were crossing the River Jordan into the new promised land, into a land that was unknown, they relied heavily upon the precepts of God, heavily upon the laws of God. For it was all of those commands, all of those laws that were given to keep them healthy, to keep them safe, to keep them alive, so that they may speak of God. A tourist once approached a sign that read, "Road closed, do not enter." However, he was intrigued at the idea that there may be a way around it. And so he passed the sign that said road closed because the road looked good. He ignored it and he walked a few miles down the road and he came to a bridge that was collapsed. Well, he turned around and he came back. And as he walked the way back on the road that seemed fine, he saw the back of the sign that he had ignored. And someone had written on the back of the sign, "Welcome back, stupid." Someone had made the same mistake. If we follow the Lord and we follow His precepts, then we can go into 2016 with a security that God knows the way. Read with me, please, in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. remaining in God's presence for the new year, relying on God's power, resting in God's provisions, respecting God's precepts. Chapter 4, verse 1, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And commanded ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord of your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. 2016, we have not passed this way heretofore. How do we do it? We remain in God's presence. We rely on God's power. We rest in God's provisions. We respect God's precepts. Then we reflect on God's faithfulness. We reflect on God's faithfulness. It is a natural thing for us as we step into the new year to do a reflection over the past year, is it not? The name of the month that we are in now, January, comes from the Roman calendar. And January is named after the Roman god Janus. And the Roman god Janus had a forward-facing face and a backward-facing face. Because it was even symbolic at that time that at the beginning of a new year, you would look back upon the previous year. But you would look forward to the coming year. God realizes that we often forget what He has done for us. And God realized that the children of Israel, how finicky they were and how easily they were distracted from the plan that God had laid before them. He knew that they were this way. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, verse 5 through 15 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shall swear by His name. You shall not go after the people which are round about you. The people were very finicky. The people forgot God's faithfulness. The people forgot what God had done for them through leading them out of slavery and leading them through the wilderness. They had forgotten all of the miracles. Given man's propensity to forget, it is little wonder that the memorials have frequently played an important role in biblical history. At the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses built an altar of stones to commemorate God's covenant with Israel. Now in this text, we see God's command to erect a memorial. And according to these verses, 12 men chose earlier were to go back to where the priests were standing in the middle of the river holding the ark. Each man was to pick up large rocks or a stone from the middle of the Jordan and carry it to the side of the river where Israel would camp in the land of Canaan. So they were to remember God's faithfulness. And these stones, this memorial, was so that when they would look upon these stones that were set up, or when their children would look upon these stones, or future generations would see this memorial that had been erected, and they would ask, what do these stones mean? Then that would give opportunity for those that had seen God's hand firsthand and God's work firsthand to speak of God's greatness. Now, I think these Stones were put here for certain reasons. I think they were put there to remember what God had done. First, the memorial stones were there to be a reminder of their own personal experience. What do these stones mean? And they would tell of it. Secondly, I believe that the stones were there for the people to speak and to share their faith to their children. The memorial of stones that was built on the bank of the Jordan River spoke to the faithfulness of God in leading the children of Israel to the promised land. Can we not similarly look at 2015 and see the faithfulness of God? Maybe you're grieving the loss of a husband or wife or loved one or a child. Maybe there's a sickness that you came through 2015 out of. Maybe there's something that you got a terrible report from a doctor, and God's faithfulness showed itself in comfort and peace. Maybe it was a health difficulty. Maybe it was a relational issue. Maybe it was financial. Maybe it was something at church. Whatever the case may be, we can all look back at 2015 with a confidence in God. We can see a track record of God's faithfulness in our lives, and in particular 2015. And with that confidence that we have in God and His faithfulness, we can charge into 2016, a land that we don't know. God is faithful. God is faithful. This passage always comes to mind to me as I near the end of a year and begin another year. I anticipate the year. Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they were about to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. The Israelites were going into a new land, a land that they had never been before, a land that had been promised, but a land that they knew nothing of. They knew not what the future had hidden for them in the form of opposition. They knew not what forces were hiding behind the mountains. They couldn't tell how difficult the path through the mountains would even be. And Joshua's officers were saying to the Israelites, "You're about to take a journey that you've never taken before. You're about to go down a road that is new to you. You're about to enter into a territory that you know nothing of." And that, in principle, is where we stand today. You're about to embark upon a brand new year, and you have no way of knowing what awaits you in the new year. You don't know what gains, you don't know what losses, you don't know what happiness, you don't know what sadness. You don't know what physical ailment, you don't know what financial problems that you may have. We don't know what's waiting for us. I'm thankful that in this instruction from Joshua to the Israelites, that God has given to us sure, dependable guidelines for traveling into strange territory. Israel had to trust what God had said to get them there. All the opportunities that you faced in 2015 are gone. All the happiness, though we can reflect on it, it's only in reflection, it's not in first person. We stand in a new year, a new time. 2016, we've not crossed, we've not passed this way before. But we'll make it. If we make God's precepts our standard, He promises our stay. His power is our strength. His presence is our sufficiency. And we need not dread the new year because God is there. If you're here without Christ this morning, let me say this, that 2016 could be the best year of your life. And I speak of it only in a spiritual sense because 2016 may be the year that you will trust Christ as your Savior. 2016 could be a phenomenal year for you. If you're here as a Christian today, face 2016 with God. It's a land that we know not of, but it's a land that God has sovereignty in. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Because You first loved us. Lord, we thank you for the promises that are found in your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love unto us. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the expectations of us that you've given us in your word. Lord God, I pray that you would bless your people today, this week, this month, this year. May we step into 2016 assured that the one that we follow, the Lord God Almighty, goes before us and will sustain us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand with me.